You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Edgar Oliver, New York poet and writer and performer, and he's talking to me today from Italy. Edgar, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yes, me, Brainerd. It's fine. Excited about talking with you.
So you're in Italy. Before we talk about your projects, where are you in Italy now?
Well, my sister Helen lives on a small farm outside of a town called Tarquinia, which is about 60 miles north of Rome on the coast of, the Tyrrhenian coast. So that's where I am. I'm on Helen's farm, the lunar landing. I'm outside on the terrace, sitting in the shade.
Sounds lovely. So I know you're going to read some poetry and some excerpts from your manuscript, but let's talk about what it is that you are. What is the project that you're working on now?
Well, about 9 years ago now, my friends Randy Sharp and Brian Bernhard at the Axis Theater, where I'm a company member, said, oh, you know, you've always told us so many amazing stories about the house you live in, this old rooming house on East 10th Street, where I had wound up being, for many years, the last person living there. So they said, well, why don't we make a show that's based on stories about your life in that house on 10th Street? So we did. We made the show that I thought was really kind of beautiful and loved it. We took it to Edinburgh and it won a Fringe First Award there. And then about 3 years ago, I went to Randy and I said, well, I want to try and do another show. You know, it would sort of be, rather than about all these stories from my past, just a show about my life in New York now. So we came up with a show. I worked with Randy putting it together based on writings that I'd done about my wanderings in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, where I love to go. And so we did that show and I performed it. It was called In the Park.
And I was very when you say did that show, was a play, correct? It was, were there other actors in it or characters, or was it a one-man show? How was it produced?
It was a one-man show, yes, that I wrote, that Randy helped me put together from various pieces of writing, and Randy directed it, and then I performed it. Yes, it was a one-man show, and it ran for about a month there at the Axis Theater on Sheridan Square. And I really was very proud of it. And then this past November, Randy and I decided that we should try and do another show, a third show, because we both felt that the first show, East 10th Street, and the second show, In the Park, were parts one and two of what could prove to be a trilogy. And so we started getting together and having meetings about this show, and at first I had no idea what it would be about, but I, started bringing in pieces of writing, and we put it together, and it wound up being another show about my life now, called Attorney Street. It's called that because about 5 years ago I left East 10th Street and I moved down to the Lower East Side to Attorney Street. So we did, I performed that show. It was another one-man show.
And these shows, you're telling stories, so it's prose as well as you're reading poems throughout them?
Well, basically, although they're drawn from stories about my life and pieces of poetry that I've written and short prose pieces, it's all presented as though I'm just talking to the audience. Whether they're poems or stories about my life or about my childhood or whatever it happens to be, it tends to be all presented as though it's just me speaking to the audience.
I see. And before you tell me about what you're working on now, I'd like to know a little bit about that rooming house on 10th Street. Where was that? Because 10th Street seems to have quite the illustrious past. I lived on 279 10th Street for quite a while. But where on 10th Street were you? I mean, I think Duchamp lived on 10th Street, and then there was kind of an incredible history of artists on 10th Street.
Yeah, it's true. I lived at 104 East 10th Street, between 3rd and 2nd Avenues, and Helen lived there with me for many years as well.
And were there, and that was a rooming house that of course is no longer a rooming house. I imagine it was sold as a private residence or something, but not to go into it too much, but was that a place where there were other artists at the time that you were living there in a bit of a community, or would I be overstating that?
Well, it was an old rooming house. I found it when I arrived in New York from London, where I'd been living. When I first moved in, it was all the rooms were occupied by various, mainly lunatics, you know. people who live in rooming houses tend to go a bit bonkers.
Well, how did you survive then? or maybe I'm overstating
well, I guess
humanity.
Well, I think it's in a way it's rather miraculous that I did survive, if I did, which I think I did, yes. I left there 5 years ago, and I'd been, when I left, I for the last 16 years I had been there, I was the only tenant left in the whole place. I was completely alone there, you know.
So let's talk about your current project and perhaps read from it. What is it that you're involved in writing now? And it's another show, I gather.
Well, what the current project is that after we did Attorney Street in November, we then decided that it might be fun to try doing all three parts of the trilogy together as a single production. So that's what we're going to go in rehearsal for in September. And that's what I'll be touring in November in New York. I've got all three parts of the trilogy kind of in a week of East 10th Street, a week of In the Park, and a week of Attorney Street, and then go back and repeat the whole sequence again. A 6 week run.
I see. So you're going to combine all of these, and how long will a performance like that be? How will that be structured?
Well, I say it will be a 6 week run of. And each week I will perform one of the three parts of the trilogy. So the first week will be, all week long I'll be performing East 10th Street, the first part of the trilogy. And then the second week, all week long, I'll be performing the second part of the trilogy in the park. And then in the third week, I'll be performing the third part of the trilogy, Attorney Street. And then I'll go back and do that over again for three more weeks. Does that make sense?
That does. That does. That sounds very ambitious and quite an undertaking. So I'd love you to read from some of that. What will you be reading from now? I know we talked a little bit before the interview about reading different excerpts from the current manuscript. Is this from Attorney Street?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'll read... First of all, I'll read you an excerpt from In the Park, part two of the trilogy. So shall I just begin?
Sure, yeah. Tell us what it is. And yeah, absolutely, begin.
Okay. Let me put on my glasses. There is a road in Prospect Park that I love. It leads from the Concert Grove to the bridge over the lagoon. It leads uphill from the Concert Grove, curving slightly, and then it reaches a stretch that I consider to be a lost place, a place along a road that leads nowhere. If you go forward, you will reach nowhere. If you turn and go the other way, you will reach nowhere. Either way along this road, you will reach nowhere. This is the lost place. The road crosses it, leading either way towards no place that can be known. There is no turning back. This is the lost place. Here my heart is at ease. Here I am content. Here I wander. This is the road that crosses the lost place. Sometimes in the summer, I sit down in the grass beside the road, stunned by the sun in the grass, stunned into stillness by the sun lying gold in the grass. I lie down in the grass and feel the hot gold beneath me. I cover my face with my straw hat and feel the hot gold lying on top of me. I lift my hat and look up at the branches above me, at the green of the leaves, gone gold in the light. I am content to lie there in the green gold grass. It is a summer afternoon along the road to nowhere. So that's from In the Park.
Very beautiful. And when you're performing and talking about these, you're reading from that, and you would read something like that. After you read that, would you continue reading another work directly as you are, or are you speaking to the audience more off the cuff? How does it progress when you're in performance?
The whole show is memorized, and I'm pretending to speak it as off the cuff as possible, yes. You know, as though I'm simply talking, and then I would just, you know, go on from there to talk of other things.
So the whole show is memorized. Sure. And how long is that show that you just read that excerpt from?
Oh, what is it, Brainerd?
Yes. Yes. How long is the show that you? How long is the excerpt? The show that you just excerpted.
I think it's about an hour long.
So that's an extraordinary feat, also in memorization, isn't it? I mean, I do you have a background as an actor? How do you? That would seem impossible to me to do.
Well, it's a little tricky. If I'm doing all three shows, each one is an hour long, I'm going to have to memorize 3 hours of material, you know. But I think it'll be okay for me. I'm sort of good at it. I'm good at memorization.
And so let's talk about... What is the next... are you reading an excerpt from another... a different show?
Yeah, I guess I will.
Or it could be from the same show, whatever you prefer.
Well, maybe I'll read something from that show because I'm really sort of into that particular show for right now.
Okay.
I'll read. I talk about. Yeah, this is from In the Park still. I talk about an old farmhouse. It's called the Lefferts House. It is in Prospect Park. It was built in the late 1700s, like around 1790. And I talk about how when it rains, I like to sit on the porch of the Lefferts House. So this is a poem that's in the show. It's about the Lefferts House, this old farmhouse. So shall I read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm sitting on the back porch of the Lefferts House. In the rain. I've just had a fried chicken picnic. It's growing dark, the middle of October, 2 weeks to Halloween. I feel like the Lefferts House is my house. In the rain, I have the whole place to myself. I wonder how long it's been since someone lived here. I feel like a young boy sitting on the back porch in the rain, a boy who is sorrow, a boy who is melancholy, a boy who is solitude. A boy who loves the rain. Such a boy must once have sat here and will sit here again while the rain falls out of time beyond the porch eaves in the coming dark. Almost Halloween of his 61st year, wandering still. This is my house. So that's all for Sophon in the Park.
Lovely. I'd like to hear more, and I want to talk a little bit about how you read and your voice. You know, for some reason it makes me think of a Marianne Moore or other poets that occasionally I've heard read. Everybody has such a very distinctive style. You know, we read a poet's writing and or writers writing of any kind, and often which is why I like to hear you read. Often the writer's voice is adds so much to it that the reader might not have thought of. Now, if I was reading your work, I would kind of hear your voice. So I'm just asking, how is it that you came upon a style of reading, a way of reading, an intonation to your voice that seems so consistent? Was it influenced by another poet or a person, or is this something that you slowly developed?
Well, I've been performing now for, like over 30 years, it's 36, 35 years. And I think my reading style has changed a lot over the years. I think I've tried, I hope, to become much more simple and direct about the way I deliver my writing when I read. I hope I become simple. I try to be these days, you know.
Well, you take your time, and you have a distinct style. I mean, when I think of all the poets that I originally heard at the Neorican Cafe and those slams, and you know, there was something distinctly American, distinctly perhaps even East Village about the delivery that was often fairly rapid. Somewhat aggressive and consistent among a lot of the poets that came there, as opposed to the way you're delivering it, which seems a little more contemplative, a little more love or reverence for every word and the sounds that they're making.
Yeah, I like the. I like the idea of being contemplative. Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you said that. I think that that especially the last two shows in this trilogy, In the Park and Attorney Street, are both very contemplative shows. And so I try to, you know, not over dramatize things and just speak as simply as I can. Just try and enunciate clearly and try not to hurry too, as well, you know, to just be sort of slow so that people, well, hopefully don't get bored but have a little bit of time to think.
And what is your background? Did your parents also influence the way you spoke or speak, or any other mentors in your life that influenced your performance?
Well, I grew up with my mother and my sister Helen. It was just the three of us all through my childhood. We were very, very isolated. Helen's a year and a half older than me. Mother told us all throughout our childhood that our father had died when I was a year old, that he had died of a heart attack when I was 1 year old. So it was really just the three of us, and Helen says that she taught me to speak as much as Mother did, which I think is probably true. I guess that Helen and I just developed our own way of speaking that perhaps was somewhat similar to the way our fathers spoke. I don't know, since I never imagined. But Helen thinks it is. I guess it's strange to say I never met our father, but I did discover when I was 16, Mother admitted that our father actually died 2 months before I was born of a morphine overdose.
A morphine overdose? I'm so sorry to hear that. And then as you grew up, did you hear other performers reading or performing in a way that influenced you or excited you about the possibility of performing?
I didn't really know. I hadn't listened to a lot of other writers read at that point. It was long before the internet or anything like that. We lived such isolated lives, such isolated childhoods, that I wasn't really familiar with recordings of other writers reading. And I was, very, very shy. When I first got to New York, I never would have dreamt that I would wind up becoming a performer and having a stage career. But I did always know that I wanted to be a writer, and so I knew that meant that I would have to give readings. And in New York, I started out, the first place I ever read really was at the Pyramid Nightclub on Avenue A, where Bobby Bradley, the manager there and the director of the Pyramid, said, "Oh, I hear you write poetry. Why don't you read some of your stuff here some night?" But since it was a nightclub, that meant that I wound up performing at like 2 in the morning, after people had been dancing to wild disco music all night long. And then after all these performances by these amazing drag queens and performance artists that worked there at the Pyramid. And so I had to sort of be dramatic in order to compete, Plus, I naturally gravitated towards writing monologues. So I guess I started out being kind of theatrical because I had to be, because of where I was performing and the fact that everything I did wound up being like a stage piece, a theater piece. But then over the years, I've tried to just simplify my readings and performing style and become just simpler and more contemplative.
And at the same time, were you also doing, were you working in the field of writing or literary arts at all?
I never managed to find a job in New York. Neither did Helen. So we applied for welfare. We were on welfare for quite a number of years until I finally began to miraculously be able to earn my living as a performer. So I owe a deep debt of gratitude to New York State, I really am very, very grateful to New York State for keeping me alive for many years.
So you continue to do these performances. These performances happen at least a few times a year, these productions that you're involved in?
Yeah, I you know, all through the years I've continued to perform, and I still do, you know, it's, I guess, as much as I can.
So let's hear one last piece, if you don't mind, from either the same grouping or whatever you like.
Okay. Well, I think I'll read another piece from the same show, from In the Prayer, if that's okay with you.
Very good. Yes, that's fine.
This is another poem. The end of the summer is here again. I feel the same melancholy I have felt since I first knew summer's ended. The melancholy of the crickets' valiant singing in the early coming dusk. Melancholy of the boy who soon must return to school. The melancholy of the summer's end. I wish that I could be again 11 years old in the backyard, watching the night come early and feeling the change in the leaves, cricket sing away. I wish I had to go back to school so I could be 11 years old again and dread it. Why must I, like the crickets, grow old? Why must I, like the summer, end? So that's also from In the Prayer.
Very lovely. Thank you so much for that. But before we go, it's been such a pleasure hearing you read. I'd like to ask you the question that I ask everyone at the end, which is, what is it that you're reading now? It could be anything at all.
Well, I guess I'm in the process of reading two books. One is a novel. It's by a British writer named A.S. Byatt. Do you know her?
Sure.
Okay, it's a book called The Children's Book. And I love it, and I have about 70 pages left, which is not much because it's about almost 900 pages long. So I'm very close to the end of that book. The other book that I brought with me is Selected Poems of William Carlos Williams, which is blowing my mind.
I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work, and especially hearing you read. Thank you so much, Edgar.
Yeah, well, it's been really fun talking with you, Brainerd. Yay, goody. I really enjoyed talking with you and reading for you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.